Father, tonight as we come before you, we thank you for the power and presence of the Holy Spirit that we felt. Lord, tonight we asked you to open up the Word of God to us. We asked you to anoint us to teach it in a way that will bring honor and glory to the name and person of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you would move mightily tonight to give us insight, give us revelation into your Word, Lord Jesus, and we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, last week we were talking about how God shut Noah in the ark, but first he called eight people into the ark. Eight is God's number of new beginnings. You find that running throughout Scripture. And all the animals were more sensitive to the Spirit of God than mankind was, because Noah preached for quite a number of years to them, repent, repent. And again, I hope the salient truth that you saw in last week's lesson is that the ark itself is a representation of Jesus Christ. And that the ark was the only method through which mankind could be saved. And just like, to put it in the modern vernacular, today the cross is the only means by which mankind can be saved. That's how that ark was a representation of the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And it's also important to remember that it was God who shut the door on the ark. Now, what's the significance of that, Pastor? Why are you taking time to mention that? Well, it's significant because only God can choose when grace is going to end for anybody. Mankind cannot make that choice. I heard a story just not long ago of somebody who was seeking counseling, and it broke my heart to hear this. They told this individual, and this was at a church, a supposed church, that had gone there for help and spiritual advice, and they told him that there's no hope for you. Now think of that. Think of that. A lost sinner coming to a church, coming to the ark, and being told, there's no hope for you. I want everybody to know that as long as there's a breath of life in a human being, if they'll come to the cross, there's hope. There is hope. Hallelujah, there's hope. Don't ever let anybody tell you that there is no hope for you. But there is only that one way of hope, and that's through Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. And that's what this ark represented. It was God's system of salvation. Eight people on board the ark. Symbolic of the fact that God's going to start a new beginning. He's going to repopulate and replenish the earth through these eight people that are on board the ark and through the animals. Seven of the unclean, and seven types of the unclean, seven types of clean, two of the unclean. So all that brings us up to where we're going to pick up tonight in verse 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bore up the ark, and it was lift above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were greatly increased upon the earth, and the ark went about on the face of the waters. Now, something we need to point out about the ark right here. Now, you know, whatever size you want to believe it is, it don't really matter. I've read anything from a cubit being 18 inches to being 26 inches, okay? So whatever, but it was a big thing. Rectangularly shaped, with windows going, when the Bible says that God had Noah put windows in it, the idea is that there was a small opening that run all the way around the top of the ark for ventilation purposes. It wasn't just like what you'd think, like one of these windows here. It ran all the way, an opening around the ark for ventilation purposes. And what God was doing in calling these eight people into the ark and Noah obeying God, God shut them in. And that 40 days that it began to rain and they're locked up in that ark, it's something to think about, the trust that Noah had to have in God. Really. Now, let me ask you, I thought about this as I was preparing this lesson, and I checked myself on it several times over, and you may think what I'm about to say to be a bit humorous at first, or even somewhat silly. But Noah didn't have to stay on that ark. You say, well, it would have been totally foolish for there's a flood out there. Why would Noah have wanted off the ark? It meant certain death, didn't it? Why do men today want out of the protection of the cross of Jesus Christ? That when you step out of it, certain spiritual death is bound to come. So there was even a test of Noah's faith in God after God had shown him so much grace. And the Bible says Noah found that grace. And he found it by keeping his faith in God's sacrificial system. And now the ark, rectangular, long, big. I've read accounts, depending on how you want to measure it, it could have held a number. I've read anywhere from over 160 to over 300 boxcars, of railroad boxcars. And it had three levels to it. So God had made it possible to provide provision for the whole time that these eight people were going to be on the ark. Hence, God has made total provision for us. Everything we're ever going to need in this life and in the life to come was provided by Jesus Christ on Calvary's Hill when he bowed his head and said, "It is finished." It's one of the greatest phrases that could ever be uttered. I believe it's the greatest one ever said. It is finished. Because of who said it? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he provided everything we were ever going to need through his vicarious atoning death on the cross. That's why there's hope. That's why there's hope. And to those of us who know and understand God's plan of redemption, it seems absolutely ludicrous to want to go anywhere else, doesn't it? But would it not seem absolutely ludicrous for Noah to want to get off of that ark? Because let me tell you something. Here's what we wanted to bring out. This ark was not a pleasant experience for Noah and his family. Now, got awful quiet on me on that one. It was not a pleasant experience in that they were locked up with all these dirty, stinking animals. You know? And it wasn't comfortable on the ark. What's the lesson to us? In this life, God protects us. But it's not always going to be comfortable. It's not always going to be comfortable. Sometimes we're going to go through difficulty. Sometimes we're going to go through trial. But God is using all that, just like he used the time Noah and his family were on the ark to sanctify them. The ark itself represents salvation. The time on the ark represents sanctification, where God, after entering in, God tested Noah's faith, even while on the ark. Hence, the lesson for us is that God is going to test our faith. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to stop and preach here a little bit right now. I've got to tell you this story first. Recently, when we were down in Baton Rouge at the International Youth Camp, didn't get a chance to talk to Brother Lauren too awful much because he was pretty busy, and he was leaving Friday morning immediately after service. He was going to ride his Harley out to Montana, which I don't know why he wanted to do that, but that's what he was going to do. I was talking to him there and went over and hugged his neck, and we chit-chatted a few minutes. And he said, "Greg," he said, "how you doing?" I said, "I'm doing good, Lauren." And I looked at him, and he gave me one of his CDs, and I said, "We got bread, Lauren." And I'll just have to explain to you another time, but that was one of his messages that he gave me to listen to. And he smiled and laughed, and he said, "Good, good." I said, "Lauren," I said, "we've come too far to turn back now." I said, "God might be testing faith a little bit. But I said, I tell you, I know we're where we need to be and what we're believing and what we're teaching. I said, I'm not letting go of it. I said, I'm not going to let go of it for anything. I said, as long as there's breath in me, I'm going to cling to the cross. And I'm going to yell and scream and shout and teach and preach and do everything I can to everybody who will listen to me to keep telling them, go to that cross. Go to the cross. Go to the cross. Go to the cross." And I believe with all of my heart, now I feel the preach coming on. Hallelujah. That God has been testing this body in particular to see, will you really hold on to the cross? If I give you growth, if you remain small, if people look at you a certain way for preaching what you're preaching, are you really going to hold on to the cross? And that's what I was telling Lauren. Yes, we're going to hold on. We're going to hold on. And the Bible says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. God is going to give this church a harvest. Hallelujah. He's been testing us. I believe we're still in the testing to see, are you really going to hold on to this message? Is it really going to be the heartbeat of the church, no matter what comes or what goes? This is what was going on with Noah when he was on the ark. God had him on there testing him to see, Noah, are you going to keep on believing me? When the waters are raging all around it, and this ark now, and it says, when the Bible says it was upon the waters, Noah had no way at all to steer this thing. Huh? Have you ever thought of that? There was no mechanism at all engineered into the ark to give Noah any ability at all over where it went. He was totally at the mercy of God, and there's no stronger place to be. There is no greater place to be. Hallelujah. We may not know where we're going sometimes, but God does. He's in control. And let me tell you this. I love it. I love it. I've read it before, and I've even preached it before, but it's so true. An amateur built the ark. A gang of intellectual engineers built the Titanic. What's the message in that? When God builds it and when God's in it, it's going to float. Hallelujah. And it's going to go to where God wants it to go to. Hallelujah. That's what I want to see happen in this church. I want it to go where God wants it to go. People may look at this small little bunch and think, where on earth are they going? What on earth are they doing? I don't know. But I do know this. We're going to stay in the ark. We're going to stay in the cross. We're going to keep on believing Christ crucified. And God is going to take us. And when we get to where He wants us to go, there'll be untold blessing there. Oh, glory, I feel the preaching that tonight. Hallelujah. Don't you just bear witness with that. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Man, I know I'm preaching tonight. I can't help it. I feel joy in my soul. I feel we're about to have revival in this church. I feel it's going on right now. I'm here to tell you, God's given it to me. He's given it to me. And I want to tell you how I know. Because here of late, as He's been drawing me closer to Him, I have seen so much more of junk in my life that I want Him to take out. That's how you know. That's how you know. It's not, oh, I feel grand and glorious all the time. No. The Lord took me to the book of Isaiah when He called the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah, when he drew close to Almighty God and heard God say, who can we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. And then he fell on his face before God and he said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. You see, when we draw close to God, there's going to be a humility involved. There's going to be a humbling involved. There's going to be a self-abasement involved where we take the focus off of what we can do for Him and see how weak and helpless we are and how glorious He is. That's the kind of revival I want to see happen in this church. That's what I'm praying and seeking God for right now. And I believe He's going to give it. I believe He's starting to give it even now. Hallelujah. Where He gets rid of all the junk that's in us so that we come in here, it's enough. It's enough to just look unto the author and the finisher of our faith and gaze upon Him and realize in Him is everything we're ever going to have need of. And He is enough because He said it 2,000 years ago on the top of Calvary's Hill. It is finished. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Noah had no control over where this thing went. It was just upon the waters. Noah, they didn't know where they were going. But God had His hand in it. And God was going to see to it. They got to where He wanted it to go. You know, it's a scary thing to give up control to anybody else. It is. Let's be honest for a minute, even to the Lord. It's scary. Because we are taught and we want to hold on and control every facet of our lives. Now really, we do. But this is where the sanctification process comes in this story of the ark. Noah had to surrender total trust to God. Now let me tell you, Noah had never built a ship before. Now he had, I'm sorry, Noah had to have some doubts. Is this thing really going to float? I've built this huge thing now. They've laughed at me. They've mocked me for so long. And Noah, I'm sure, wondered, is it going to float? Yes, Michelle. Oh, yeah, at least. Yeah. Every step of the way. Every step of the way. He was mocked and made fun of, saying, hey, it's going to rain. God's judgment's coming. God's going to destroy this world with water. They laughed him to scorn. But they did so to their own peril. People today who laugh at the cross and mock it. And it's going on. In the evangelical world, it's going on. And I mean, it's not being done so much in a forward manner. But it's how they deny the power thereof. I think you alluded to that on Sunday morning, Michelle. Out of is it 1st or 2nd Timothy? I know it's chapter 4. I forget if it's 1st or 2nd Timothy. How men will deny the power of God. You know? And the Bible says, from such turn away. We're not supposed to have fellowship with anybody who's denying the power of God, which is the cross of Christ. But our mission is to abide in the ark, the cross. There we're kept. Yes, Paul. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but that I think is, you know, shining on us today in our lives that, you know, it's basically the same thing, but we just don't see it that way.
Exactly.
There's no closed door or wood box that we're sitting in. But grace operates the same way.
Exactly.
That's
right.
Still encompassing
grace. Yeah.
We have a choice, but the whole thing is, if we're going to walk in grace, we have to let God have control.
That's right. That's a good thought.
Not just the.
It's a very good thought. The heart. It's a very good thought. Yeah. What he said there was a mouthful. If we're going to walk in grace, that means giving up control to God. And this ark was a perfect example of God's grace and God's provisionary care. Okay, so Noah didn't know where he was going. He had to trust God. Let's go to verse 19 now. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole of heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Now, something we need to bring out here. I looked it up today, and I forgot. How tall is Mount Everest? I think it's 27,000 some feet, isn't it? Anybody know? For 4 to 5 miles, so. More than 5 miles, okay. Pretty tall. But what you got to remember is that before the flood changed the entire topography of the earth. So when the Bible says that the waters were 15 cubits, however you want to measure a cubit, whatever you want to go by, the highest mountains on earth at this time were probably not nearly as high as like what Mount Everest was. More than likely, and I've read different accounts by archaeologists and geologists in the Christian realm, they said probably before the flood, the highest mountains might have been 5 to 10,000 feet. It was this water resting upon the earth that carved out a lot of the canyons and mountains that we now see. But in any event, the point being is that the waters were still pretty high above even the highest mountains that were on earth at this time. That's a pretty awesome thought to think about. And people wonder, well, how can that be? Well, because God let it happen. That's how it could be. He made this whole universe. He sustains this whole universe. He controls it. And he can do, he is not limited to do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it. And the important fact to remember, I'm not a scientist, and I don't have a lot of scientific knowledge. But the point to remember is that Jesus affirmed this entire account of the Noahic flood in the New Testament. Remember, we brought that out about a month back. Jesus affirmed this entire account. So if Jesus said it happened, I think the way the Bible describes it, I think we can pretty well take that, don't you, for a fact that it happened just the way we're reading it? Paul, you had something you wanted to say. That's right, yeah. Did I confuse you? No, the waters were 15 cubits above the highest mountain, with archaeologists and geologists in the Christian realm that I've read after who believe this biblical account were saying that it was 15 cubits above the highest mountain, which was probably in the neighborhood of 5,000 to 10,000 feet before the flood. Okay, it wasn't like 15 cubits above like where Mount Everest would be right now is the point I was trying to make on that. Everybody understand what we're saying there? Did it confuse anybody? Okay, good. All right, let's go on. Verse 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth, and every man. Just as God said, it was all destroyed except that which was in the ark, which was a type of Jesus Christ. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. It's a long time, ain't it, folks? To be sitting on that ark, not knowing where you're going, just floating around. And more than likely, for the longest time, they just sat in the bowels of the ark. Noah and the family, they didn't get a chance to come up and look outside. They were probably too afraid to be honest with you. But God was in control, and God had this plan designed to preserve and to reestablish his covenant with mankind. Eight people on that ark. It's important to remember that's God's number of new beginnings. Eight is. 40 is God's number of probation, which is a type of sanctification. That's where you get the 40 days and 40 nights it rained. 40 has always been a type of probation from God, a testing period. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible tells us that Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness as God tested them. Same concept in all of those stories. And even, it's awesome to think about, even the Son of God was tested. Think of that. That's pretty awesome. So therefore, the conclusion to this chapter 7, the salient truth we want to remember is just abide in the ark. Abide in the ark. Give up control to God. Whatever the circumstance, give it up to him. As long as you're abiding in Christ, there may be chaos and tumult all around you. And it may look awfully scary at times. But if you're in the ark, you're in God's provision, and God will protect you. And you'll always have hope as long as you remain in the cross of Christ. Spiritually speaking, is what I'm talking about. You'll always have hope. Don't ever let nobody tell you that you've sinned too much. There's nothing that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse. No sin. It's the only thing that can. And just like how God required Noah and his family to be saved, they had to come into the ark, which was God's plan of salvation. God's plan to preserve them. The cross of Christ is God's plan to preserve the whole human race. Any other effort that you try to come in, or any other way you try to associate yourself with God, hear me on this tonight. I don't care how well-meaning, I don't care how grandiose, how intellectual the plan, God simply will not honor it. It's only the cross. It's only the cross. Praise God. Any other questions or comments before we close tonight? Would you bow your heads for just a minute? Heavenly Father, How we thank you tonight that we have an ark of safety in Jesus Christ. Lord, how we thank you that you have made glorious provision for us, just like you did for Noah. And that, Lord, there's always hope if we'll come your way. If we'll come your way, you will accept us. The door is wide open. And just like you called out to Noah and his family and the entirety of the human race through Noah, come, 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 come and be blessed. Come and be saved. Lord, you don't want any to perish. And Father, I pray tonight in Jesus' name that if there would be any soul who's not right with you, that tonight they would come to the cross. They would come into the ark and answer your call of salvation. And Lord, let them know that there is no sin too great, that your blood will not cleanse, and that you will not forgive and restore them and preserve them in Christ Jesus through what he's done at the cross. If there's anybody tonight, you need salvation. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. I want you to slip up your hand right now. I promise you, I'm not going to embarrass you. We're just going to pray together. Are there any at all? And Jesus Christ and him crucified is the only way. Just like this ark was the only way. The cross of Christ is the only way of salvation. Anyone at all? I'm going to ask everyone then to please stand. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight. We thank you for the glorious illustration. Lord, it's more than an illustration. This is a true story, but it beautifully illustrates our salvation and the glorious provision that you've made for us in Christ. Father, I pray you'll keep us anchored in that truth. Lord, do a work in our hearts, Holy Spirit of God, I ask in Jesus' name. Do a work in our hearts to where in this church all we want is Jesus. All we want is Jesus. When we come in, let us not be enamored with one another's gifts and talents. Let us only be enamored with Jesus Christ. Lord, that will bring such a purity and such a holiness and such a self-abasement before you and a humility, Lord, that we all need. For there's ego in us all, Lord. And Father, the closer we draw to you, the less of us there will be and the more of you. Lord, I give you praise and glory tonight. That's the kind of revival I'm seeking you for, Lord Jesus. That's the kind I believe you're giving us. And Lord, it's up to you where we go. We're going to abide in the ark, though. Where you take us, Lord, we will sit and praise you and be happy with Christ crucified. And let that satisfy, let that be our glory. Give us that kind of revival, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for this time together tonight. And ask your blessing upon each and every one. Lord, to those who have suffered great loss this week, especially the Huff family, I pray again for your spirit to comfort them. Lord, we pray for the Oren family also, Lord Jesus, that you would keep your hand upon them and lead them and guide them, Lord, and give wisdom, Lord Jesus, just in every area. Father, we thank you tonight for we know you can be trusted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Worship Jesus right now. Just give him glory. Look upon him spiritually. Look upon him spiritually. Gaze upon the one who went to the cross for you. Gaze upon the one who's seated at the right hand of Almighty God as our intercessor. Gaze upon the one who's purchased our redemption and praise him in your soul and spirit tonight. Oh, Lord Jesus, we honor you. We praise you. Lord, let all of us fade to the background and let Jesus Christ be magnified. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Amen and amen. God bless you so much. You're dismissed. We'll see you, Lord willing, on Sunday morning.